What was it like to be a decision maker at a hospital in the early, confusing days of the pandemic? The question is on Chris Begley's mind for this latest in his series, Future Tense.
Today on Future Tense, I welcome Dr. Philip Chang, MD, Chief Medical Officer for the University Hospitals Cleveland Medical Center. Formerly the System Chief Medical Officer for University of Kentucky Healthcare and faculty in the Department of Surgery. Welcome, Dr. Chang. Thanks for joining us.
Chris, thank you for having me. As I told you on the phone, this is my radio station.
All right. Well, mine too, and we sure appreciate being able to contribute. This show is focused on the pandemic reality that we're living in, the post-pandemic world, and I guess I wanted to start out just by asking about how this all started for you. I know that for me, I first heard news stories about COVID-19 probably in January, but it wasn't really until March, just before the shutdowns, that I really had a sense of what was coming. I was curious about your process of realization as a medical professional tasked with dealing with this kind of thing.
You know, it's interesting for me. I will vividly remember rounding at UK hospital with my residents and getting the news on my phone. This was right around Chinese New Year. And news just came out that China has shut down the city of Wuhan. And this is about 3 days before Chinese New Year. Not being from China, I didn't quite get the scale. So I quickly looked up how big Wuhan is. And I realized it's larger than New York City. So I turned to my resident. I said, do you realize what China just did? They just shut down the equivalent of Manhattan and larger 2 days before Christmas. Nobody in, nobody out. That's when I realized that there is something very serious going on there. It wasn't until probably like most people when barbershops begin to close, my favorite gym began to shut down, when I realized the gravity of the situation. Obviously, a lot of the hospitals who are very prepared have already been thinking about this. But I don't think any of us were completely prepared for the panic it caused and the challenges that we would have with some of the medical supplies that we all by now are very familiar with.
And so was dealing with things like the PPE and the number of ventilators and all of that, was that something that was an initial concern for you?
You know, unfortunately, I transitioned between Lexington at UK Healthcare to Cleveland exactly at the start of the pandemic. And I remember at the time having meetings with chief nurse and the infection control specialist at UK, and we were talking about, so this is probably end of February, what impact this would be if we translated the percentage number from China and brought it to Kentucky, how quickly it would overwhelm our ICU capacity if we didn't develop additional capacity. The only thing we did not calculate was that elective operations will slow down to such a pace that, knock on wood, it hasn't been a problem for most of the hospitals in Kentucky and for that matter in Ohio. But certainly some of the states are seeing a lot of these problems that we're talking about. Currently, Utah is having quite a bit of problem.
I guess with this new surge, those problems as bad as they've been at any time in the past for some of these places.
Yes, you're right. And that's even with us having much better knowledge of how to deal with these patients. You know, we all downloaded some of the protocol manual that's coming out of China and then later on Europe, all try to learn what they were doing. This is a very interesting phenomenon that I don't think any of us has ever done in our medical profession, which is that we are learning how to take care of a disease on social media. Now, we have to double check and make sure they're reputable by calling your friends and whatnot, look up their credentials. But we were learning literally Facebook postings from emergency room physicians in New Orleans who said, watch out for these things. These are the symptoms. This is what we're seeing. Some of them are later turned out not to be true, but the scarcity of reputable published material was an important factor early on.
I wondered about that. I was thinking about, you know, the kind of research you'd done before. And I know, for instance, you did some research into pneumonia related to ventilator use. And I wondered if any of that kind of stuff might have translated to things that were going on with COVID, or is it such a new situation that really you were starting from scratch?
I don't think any of us were starting from scratch. And, you know, my background is trauma and critical care and do take care of these patients. I think we built on what we learned. And at UK, I have 100% of confidence of the care in the ICU that UK physicians provide, which we all employed what we call a lung protective ventilator strategy. So if a patient were to be on a ventilator, we use the minimal amount of pressure and force to achieve what the patient needs. So it's a protective strategy. And I think we built on that. What's surprising about COVID is that it threw curveballs at us where we're seeing vascular problems that typical viral pneumonia or bacterial pneumonia doesn't do.
Well, after going through this now for several months, are there lessons from the pandemic that you've learned as a healthcare professional or as a hospital administrator that'll be useful going forward?
Yeah, I think we've learned a lot from this. When I started in Cleveland, like I said, early March, within about 10 days, we realized this was going to be a problem. And the whole system decides that we're going to activate the emergency response system, something called Hospital Incident Command Center. And literally is that you go to a room where you got lots of phones, you've got different officers, there's a public information officer, there's a planning person, there's a supply person, et cetera. And you sit down and deal with these issues day to day. In those days, it was particularly important to react to what seemed like changing guidelines nationally. But what we've learned is leverage telehealth, number one. Number two, and Chris, I want to stress that it's not anything new, but it's amplified. We have had telehealth, but what we're seeing is we can really take advantage of telehealth. So all of a sudden, UK and Cleveland, there's been some telehealth foundation. Nobody really wanted to use it because we all like to see our patients and touch our patients. But with this, that got amped up. The idea of using the command structure in times of emergency, we all got very good at it. The idea of sharing information and be transparent about how things get done, those all got critically important. I would say the other thing is, and this is a little bit like some of the experience we had dealing with opioid. You know, when I really got involved, it was not at the forefront of it. But the idea that Kentucky Hospital Association, for instance, stepped up and worked with us how to reduce opioid misuse. There's a role for opioid, but the misuse is what we're tackling. Having a central system where people came together and came up with shared ideas and information. And similarly with this, the hospital association or the state government taking on that role is something that we need to continue to have.
One of the things that all of us are seeing and that's surprising to some of us, and I wonder how this affects you as a healthcare professional, is how the response to the pandemic has become politicized. I wondered, has that impacted your efforts or your strategies at all? Does that sort of thing make its way into the hospital?
Of course it does. I just read recently one of the hospital systems out in the Midwest took out a 2-page ad to say, please wear your masks. Most hospitals, such as I believe University of Kentucky and where I am now in Cleveland at UH, we have set up screeners and screening stations and enforcing masks. Early on in the pandemic, we used to make rounds every day and what I jokingly call mask rounds. And we go around the hospital and every person we see who doesn't have the mask fully on, half masked, you know, you got the hanger around the neck, the one with the nose picking out, and I would walk by and just gently tap on my own mask. And they know, and they just go, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Or people who are out in the open eating for long periods of time. So I think the healthcare providers all understand. They just need that reminder. We're not used to it just yet. It unfortunately has become politicized, and it didn't need to be, in my opinion. I think there is healthcare and science, and we're just trying to follow the science.
Yeah. Well, thinking about the future, one of the things that many of us are concerned with is that with increasing population, with our incursions into wildlife habitats, it seems like the possibility for the emergence of these new zoonotic diseases, that is, diseases passing from animals to humans like we believe this disease did, that seems increasingly likely. And I wonder, is this just the first of many of these? Is this the start of some new normal?
Chris, I think it's already, we're already seeing it. It didn't quite reach our shore. I remember prepping Ebola at University of Kentucky with our infectious disease specialists. Some hospitals in Cleveland, they prep for SARS because it hit Canada. And so a little close for comfort. I think it's already happening. I hope we don't have another one like this in a long, long time. But I'm incredibly optimistic for our people, for this country, because we're going to grow from this. I believe what we're going to see is people are going to understand after experiencing this that if they have a cold, if they're under the weather, they might go to work with a mask on. And instead of being ridiculed, they might get some understanding nod that the person wearing the mask is doing it for the benefit of others around them. It's probably just a simple cold. But that's going to help us. Already we're seeing in South America, the seasonal flu has been significantly, and I mean, you know, 50, 100 times less than what they saw last year. And some postulate, and I believe it's because we're all washing our hands, we're all being mindful not to touch our nose, and we're all wearing masks and keeping a healthy distance. So I'm incredibly optimistic that we're actually going to emerge from this as a healthier country.
Well, Dr. Philip Chang, I want to thank you very much for taking time. And I know, of course, you're busy dealing with all of this stuff, taking time to talk with us about this here on Future Tense. Thank you very much.
Chris, my pleasure.